This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Many of you, many of our listeners here may actually not know that Joy Radio actually commenced broadcasting on World AIDS Day many, many years ago. So we actually do take this very seriously, and we do actually celebrate World AIDS Day each year. We're going to kick off the discussion this morning about World AIDS Day with Professor Sharon Lewin. Oh, we've got Max Niggle. I made a mistake there.
Oh, Max. Hello, Max. It's Mackie. How are you?
G'day, Macca. How are you?
Good. And Neil Mitchell and Tess.
Morning.
G'day, Neil.
So, Max, were you around when Joy first started broadcasting?
I sure was. I was listening to those trial transmissions way back when you were in South Melbourne.
Good on you. Good on you. Good on you. So tell us, what's in store this year for World HIV AIDS Day?
Well, there's certainly a lot of things going on the day. And, of course, the theme of this year's World AIDS Day is HIV is still here and it's on the move. And by saying that, this is to ensure that people don't think that AIDS or HIV is over, that we still have people dying of AIDS here in Victoria. How effective the treatments are. And the fact that we're looking at data now that's showing that there are increases in HIV diagnoses amongst particular other populations aside from men who have sex with men. But we kick off the day really with the official launch of World AIDS Day, and that's with the Health Minister, the Honourable Jill Hennessy. And our keynote speaker this year is Associate Professor Edwina Wright, and many people would know of her work as both a physician and as a researcher with the Alfred Burnett and Monash facilities. And then, of course, we have two amazing HIV-positive speakers who will be speaking at that.
Do you know who they are,
World AIDS Day? Yes, I do, but I keep it under wraps until the actual day.
Oh, right. Give us a surprise.
Yeah, lots of coaching. Their speeches are looking amazing. So.
Max, when you say that one of the themes for this year's World AIDS Day is HIV's on the move, what does that mean?
So what we're trying to get across the message is that we are seeing an increasing diagnosis of people who are heterosexual. And that data is looking at about 19% of transmissions in the most recent data.
In Australia we're talking about?
Yes, in Australia. And it's a wake-up message to the heterosexual population that HIV has not gone away, but it's still here and it still makes impact on others aside from the thoughts that, oh, we're not one of those people, so it doesn't matter to us. So our message in saying it's on the move is really important to alert people to the fact, to get educated around HIV. And some of the other data is also coming out, which is quite alarming, with a 50% increase in diagnoses amongst young Aboriginal men. And that's quite, it's located around in spots of Australia. It's not a general thing. But it also says that what are we doing to educate our Aboriginal brothers?
What are the numbers in there, though, Max? Where you're talking about 19%. What are the overall new notifications in a year? When there's a spike,
well,
what is it?
We've got quite stable notifications every year of around about, well, now I'm going to be, you've put me right on the spot here because I don't have that in front of me, but around about the 1,100 mark per year, Australia-wide. So it's been very stable over quite a few years now, but what we are seeing is increases in populations that we thought would not have been impacted.
Why? Do we know?
I think Why is the biggest question. Why, what, and how can we address this? People don't think that HIV matters to them in the broader population. We know from our research that the gay men's population is quite well educated around HIV, but the general population thinks in Australia that it doesn't affect them.
And what's the main modes of transmission that we know of through the data, Max?
Well, sex, basically.
Right.
Unprotected sex.
Okay.
If I can ask, Max, many years ago that heterosexual level was much, much lower, and it was, I wouldn't say concentrated, but women were obviously, no pun intended, on the receiving end in terms of transmission. Do you have a breakup of gender with this latest figure where you're saying it's 19%?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea in terms of the gender there?
I think Sharon is probably going to be able to answer those questions more particularly than I am. The numbers of women diagnosed are still quite low within that annual amount. And yet they have been disproportionately affected globally. In fact, more than 50% of the diagnoses, and that is not the case here.
Yeah.
But what we'd like to say is to women and to men who identify primarily as heterosexual is start to have conversations that are honest and start to talk about sexual practice and to understand that condoms can prevent the transmission of HIV. So, you know, when it comes to women and to men, there's this blithe assumption that no one would have HIV.
I was around during the Grim Reaper campaign. I just started on radio. I remember the debate around that. Is it time we looked, I'm not suggesting another Grim Reaper, but is it time we looked at another significant advertising campaign if this spike is an issue?
That's a great question, and I think I can answer that in the way that if you do a general population campaign, you will be throwing a huge amount of money at a campaign that probably would be fear-based.
Yeah.
And that is a history or a track record, and the Grim Reaper is a perfect example of a fear-based campaign that embedded stigma against HIV.
And still
we would not want to repeat that. So targeted interventions, targeted campaigns at at-risk groups, and that those messages are publicly visible would make a difference to the broader population too. And we see this already around Australia on bus stops and big billboards that HIV is still here.
Max, what about PrEP? And what about the take-up of PrEP amongst some of the population groups that we've been talking about this morning? Are people using PrEP and are they using it successfully?
Yes to both questions, and I think the trials that the New South Wales and Victorian governments have rolled out and that the Queensland government has just started doing is quite remarkable in the uptake of PrEP. If you look at the data out of Victoria, we had the most successful uptake of people applying to join the PrEP trial, and bear in mind this is a trial. It is not funded by the PBS system. It is to assess whether this is going to work. In Victoria, for example, 2,600 spaces, of which within about 12 to 13 weeks, 2,200 of those enrolments were taken up. A remarkable achievement of people wanting access to PrEP.
Well, that's fantastic.
People are using it, and it is effectively preventing the transmission of HIV.
I want to ask Max, the Speakers Bureau. You're still heavily involved there, aren't you?
Yeah, just a tad.
How's it going? Because I mean, the work that does in terms of speaking to a very, very diverse group of people, mm-hmm. by people that are HIV positive, that how this has impacted their lives. You know, this is why actually, you know, you need to think about how you know what you're doing, because you don't want to be in the same boat as us. How's it going?
Well, look, we seem to just go from strength to strength. We continue to recruit new speakers, and each year we train up to 15 new speakers, mostly younger male men, but also increasingly women. And that's a great achievement, because for a while women were not wanting to be involved. In the latest data we had that we reported in an annual report, we spoke to nearly 9,500 people in that financial year, of which around 55% are to secondary school students between the years of 7 through to 10. And the idea about that is actually to get people when they're younger to understand the impact of HIV and a diagnosis and what that means.
Yeah.
So to educate people at a younger age to say that this just does not affect gay men. Here is a woman standing in front of you living with HIV. And it is really impactful, and it continues to be. Just like a range of other chronic health conditions, when you get the person with the health condition in front of an audience, you actually make a difference.
It's very powerful, I agree. A personal story is a very, very powerful way of engaging people.
Yeah.
Max, we're nearly out of time, but I want to take us back to World AIDS Day. So the events that you've described, they are publicly available, anybody can participate in?
Yeah. The whole focus this year is to make sure that this is community and community-based events, and we ask everyone to come along and that they are all welcome. So what would be of interest to many people in the community is the forum that's happening at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
And that is HIV, then and now, and no one left behind.
And where is the forum?
So that's at the Amrit Theatre, which is at 75 Commercial Road.
Which is next door to the Alfred Hospital.
Yep, right next door to the Alfred Day Centre and beside Burnett.
So people can just turn up? That's an open invitation?
We would much prefer that they RSVP, because what we're actually doing is providing morning tea at 10 o'clock and
Lovely.
Then we're providing lunch after the forum.
So how do people do
RSVP, that? RSVP to worldaidsday.com.au.
Lovely.
Great.
worldaidsday.com.au. RSVP.
And also, that's for the RSVP for the forum and the community launch.
And if people want to find out more about what is occurring, can they go to a particular website?
Yeah, if they're listening around Australia, what they can do is to go to the Commonwealth World AIDS Day website, worldaidsday.org.au. That lists all of the events happening both here in Victoria, not just Melbourne, but all around Victoria and all around Australia.
Lovely. And one final question, Max. Where can our listeners purchase, say, Red Ribbon from?
They don't have to purchase them. They're free. And there's actually 35 distribution points all around the city of Melbourne and inner Melbourne, where all of the VAC volunteers will be distributing Red Ribbons with some basic health promotion messages.
Yeah.
So it'll be a highly visible campaign, and please find somebody that's distributing Red Ribbons, wear one on the day, and think about the people we've lost.
Well, I'm going to be away, Max. I'm going to be in Europe, but I'll be wearing mine on World AIDS Day. So,
thank you very much, Macca.
Look, thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your work. Great work, and it continues to be. Have a happy and safe World AIDS Day.
Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That was Max Niggle from Living Positive Victoria, and he's also the coordinator of their Speakers Bureau. Big involvement in World AIDS Day.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.